morning, and thank you for tuning in and listening to this week's Message of Hope on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love. This week, our senior pastor, Dave Yonker, sermon series, A Case of the Mondays. Stay tuned after the message for special music and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
Pause in the midst of worship today to offer our hearts and minds, our spirits, our whole being over to God in prayer. And so in that spirit, let us pray. We come into your presence, O God of wonder, because you first came to us. You have known us long before we came into this world. You have searched for a relationship with us and with all your children. And so here in this place of worship at this hour and in this time, we pray that you might draw us back into the wonder of searching for a deeper connection and relationship with you. Help us to know of your love, to experience your peace, and to put your love into practice. Help us to know that in searching, we may come to know ourselves better as we truly are and as you would want us to be. Center us, O God, in this hour of worship on your presence here among your people, as we lift up our heart's desires, our soul's deep needs, our hungers and fears and failures. We pray for those who are closest to us, who need your peace and love today. We pray for those in our community of faith and those in our circle of friendship who need to know that you are near because they find themselves in the deepest valley of life and they cannot seem to find a way out. We also pray for ourselves, O loving God, and your call to put love into practice and action and to love our neighbors as ourselves. In those times when we have failed to do your will in our lives, we pray that you might forgive us, enliven us to be and do the gospel of Jesus Christ, open us to your Spirit's urging, and awaken us to live faithfully as your people in a changing and often hurting world. Reveal your presence, O God, with all those that we pray for and share life with. Help us to be a people of renewed faith and vitality that we may serve in your world and give glory to you. Because we offer our lives and our prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you now and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. And we join our voices together now by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, Here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, You stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are continuing here today with our Case of the Mondays sermon series. We find ourselves here this morning in week two. In this series, we are talking about how there are times when we would just rather stay at home than actually go to work. There are days when we would rather not go to school. We'd rather stay at home and be in bed all day long, eating snacks, drinking pop and soda, all the coffee we can enjoy and even stuff in our face, not have to worry about life or work or relationships or people at all. There are days in life when we come down with a huge case of the Mondays and we just feel all over in life. And that's why we are in this book of James together, reading through it together in this month of September, as we go back to work, as we go back to school for our kids, as all the great times that we had on summer vacation, traveling, relaxing by the pool, going to ball games, working in the yard, all those things have come to an end for the season. And so in this series, we are called to put our faith into practice in our relationships, and the people that we share life with every single day. And so we started out last week with a word about being a doer of God's word. Not just someone who hears the word of God, but actually someone who actually does what God calls us to do. If you missed worship last week, it was a holiday after all. You can download our sermon podcast off of iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Not only can I put you to sleep here in church, but I can put you to sleep as you're driving down the road, as you're sitting in a meeting, wherever you are. You can download our sermon radio show and podcast and share it with your friends. And so we continue the series today with this word from chapter 2. Now, I have brought something to show you today, a little show and tell in my sermon in worship. This is a bouncy ball. If you've never seen a bouncy ball in your life, then you, my friends, are missing out. This is one of the greatest inventions of all time. It does exactly what its name says it does. It bounces all over the place. And in our house, we have tons. We have baskets of bouncy balls. We have picked them up from Old Navy and Fun City and Happy Joe's and all over the place. We have big ones and small ones and medium-sized ones, just right-sized ones. If you need a bouncy ball in your life, we'll be more than happy to share. We have more than our fair share of this amazing device. It is endless hours of fun. Well, to be honest, actually, it's minutes of fun in your life, watching it bounce around, trying to catch it, trying to take it outside and see how far down the street you can bounce it. See if you can bounce it on top of your house from your driveway. It is great. And one of the best parts about a bouncy ball is trying to earn this ball. What I mean is that whenever you go to the arcade and you play those games that give you tickets, tickets for like shooting baskets or skee ball, Pac-Man, all kinds of great games, sometimes your parents are the most amazing parents in the world. They will help you cheat at games at Fun City and Happy Joe's so that you can get more tickets. Not that I would know anything about that in my life, but sometimes your parents help you cheat and get more tickets. And so when you have earned enough tickets from playing the games, you can take them there to the main arcade desk and you can redeem your tickets for a prize. And so if you've been there, then you know the drill. You have earned the tickets, you have done all the hard work, all the points there are totaled up, and so now you get the prize. Candy, little army men, frisbees, bouncy balls, some places even have iPads that they can give away. Which I don't even want to think about how many hours you have to play those games to earn enough tickets to get an iPad. I mean, just go buy one after all. I mean, it can't be that much money. But there it is for you, and it is fantastic, and it is great, and so we know about this. But the thing is that sometimes we think about faith in the very same way. Like if we do enough good things, if we pray enough, if we help enough people who are in need, we will have earned enough tickets so we can go to the big countertop there in heaven. We can ring the bell and God will come by so that we can redeem our tickets that we have earned. God can help us fill in the blank. We have enough tickets so God will love us. Or help us, or care for us, or do what we want God to do in our life from our prayer list for God. This is the world in which we live. And sometimes if people do nice things for us, we think we have to do something nice in return so we can earn enough tickets. That's how we approach lives of faith. Especially when we hear the passage today. Faith, if it has no works, if it has no actions, the Bible says, is dead. And so we take this to heart. We desire and want and wish to be the best Christians that we can be. And so we all mean very well and we want to have enough works in our life so that we can have faith to go along with it. It's like if we earn up enough tickets, then we can build up a huge pile, then we can bypass all the frisbees and like the bouncy balls and everything else there. We can have enough faith to turn in and redeem when times get tough. That's the way it seems to work. It seems like the scripture is saying exactly just that today. But it's actually not quite saying that thing. You see, James gets into the passage today by telling us about a scenario that we've all seen before. He says, just imagine two people come walking into your door. And one person seems to be as rich as they can be. They come pulling into the driveway in like the best car you have ever seen in your whole entire life. I'm talking like a Bentley or like a Rolls Royce. It has no dings and like no dents and like no nicks. It is the best car you've ever seen in your entire life. And whenever they get out of this amazing, huge, massive car, James says they are wearing the best clothes. They have the biggest rings on their fingers. They have the most expensive bags over their shoulder. And for appearance's sake, it's like they seem to be loaded, like they are like a gazillionaire or something. They seem to have it all. But then James says someone else palms up. And they're at the other end of the economic ladder. They pull up in a car that backfires from like 2 miles down the road. It is rusted and it is dented, and like the doors are like a different color than the hood, and the windows are crank windows and they don't go all the way up, and so the inside kind of smells musty from the rain, and like the bumpers have bungee cords on them to keep them up, and all the hubcaps have fallen off. You have seen this car before. I'm pretty sure I used to own this car before in my life. And so in this scene, James says, very often when these people come into our life, we play favorites. We say to the rich person as they get out of their fancy car, here, take my seat. Can I get you something to eat or drink? I'm so happy and honored that you've come into my presence. We're excited and overflowing with love because they are here. But then James says, in the very same way, when someone who is poor comes up, we say, get yourself something to drink. Here, sit on the floor. You're not worthy to have my chair. We hardly pay any attention to them at all, James says. He even says we become judges with all of our evil thoughts. And so what happens is that the scriptures say we end up playing favorites and showing partiality. We seem to love other people and not some others. When according to what the gospel of Jesus Christ that James is proclaiming is that we are called to show zero partiality, to love everyone all alike, rich and poor and medium and well off and in fact not so well off, and to see everyone as a child of God, to treat everyone as a child of God, because that is how God sees us. This is how Jesus calls us and redeems us and blesses our lives as his very own. And so because of this, James says, the essence of faith is to love your neighbor as your very self. And in fact, as Jesus would say, not just love people that love you in return, but even loving those people and caring for those that don't like you. To pray for those people who persecute you and say awful and mean things about you and hope that God will bless them just as much as God has blessed you. The essence of faith and what it means to be a Christian, the scriptures say, is to put love into practice and love your neighbor as yourself. We have heard this. And we know this, but it is hard to put into practice. And it's even harder when we have to consider our own motives. To love our neighbor as ourselves, to treat people with kindness and respect and grace and peace, to love people exactly as Jesus did whenever he was walking this green earth, showing no favorites and no partiality. Living this kind of life simply because it's the right thing to do. To live the Christian life that Jesus calls us to live. Not trying to earn tokens or enough tickets so that we can save up enough so that whenever we get to the big, huge redemption counter up there in heaven, we can bypass all the Frisbees and the little army men and all the bouncy balls and all the iPads, and we can cash in our tickets for faith. Not trying to earn our way into heaven by doing good works, but loving our neighbors as ourselves. And doing good works of love simply because God loved us first. Showing no favorites and no partiality. Because God has blessed us as his own. And so we put that life into practice. We put that faith into practice. For no other reason. For no other reason in that That's the life that Jesus calls us to live. And that's enough. And that's enough of a reason for us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a new church home or searching for something beyond yourself, we hope you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We offer two styles of worship each Sunday. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m., featuring beloved hymns of the faith. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 a.m. and is led by our amazing band. In both services, you'll hear a sermon similar to the one you listened to today on the radio. Be welcomed at the Lord's table for communion and join with us in prayer and praise. During the summer, children's church is offered at our 10:45 service. There's no better way to begin our week in worship, so we hope you will join us here at First Christian Church.
Thank you.